Welcome, hello, and welcome to Unlimited Realities. I'm Lisa Zimmer, and we have a wonderful guest today, and it's been quite an interesting journey getting to this point this morning. But our guest today is Maureen Dawn Healy, and she is an expert in understanding and researching indigo children. And her book is called The Energetic Keys to Indigo Kids. It's your guide to raising and resonating with the new children. And I find this topic, having four children of my own, all resonating at different frequencies. It's a very important and powerful book for our new generation and really how our future is moving along at a different frequency than maybe how we were raised or even how our children, our adult children were raised. So without further ado, let me introduce to you Maureen Dawn Healy, author of The Energetic Keys to Indigo Kids, Your Guide to Raising and Resonating with the New Children. Maureen, thank you so much for being my guest today, and thank you for the wonderful understanding on the journey getting here at 12 o'clock instead of 11:30. Okay. Maureen Dawn Healy, welcome. The Energetic Keys to Indigo Kids, Your Guide to Raising and Resonating with the New Children. Maureen, welcome to Unlimited Realities. You didn't hear my whole minute spiel here, but I introduced you and all your expertise, so thank you for being my guest today on Unlimited Realities.
I'm happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Well, this is a very, very important, powerful book. Anyone who works with children, has children, loves children, you know, it's one of those books for me that I really feel everyone needs to read, to really understand the resonance that has changed, the resonance of children coming and being born today. And, of course, it's not all children, but it is a very strong increase of these kinds of indigo kids. So let's talk about what is indigo kids, Maureen?
Such a good question. Well, there's this big umbrella of sensitive children, and under that umbrella, one type of sensitive child who I see a lot of are indigo children, and they have a high sensitivity, so they are sensitive to light, sound, smell, touch, and sensory input. But in addition to sensitivity, they have an intensity to them. They have a fierce energy that can be, you know, channeled for good or can be challenging. So they have that high sensitivity, that fierce, almost like warrior type energy. I'm sure you've heard, you know, your children say, "I refuse to do that."
Oh yeah,
so
oh, sure. Strong.
Yeah. And they also share a similar mindset. Like they want people to be honest with them. They want to be treated fairly. They want to be creative. They don't want to be rushed. There's a lot of other similar mindset type things they have as well.
Interesting. So. Okay, so we're talking about specifically indigo kids, but there are different aspects of other similar types of energetically resonant children, and some of them are also referred to as sensitives or hypersensitive or star children, or and so this is also a little bit different than indigo kids. Right, Maureen?
Yeah, well, some other sensitive children, like you mentioned, star children or crystals or other, they don't have that fierce energy. They're more the peacemakers, the healers. They're different. Not that indigos can't be healers and peacemakers, but they don't have that fierce energy that, quote-unquote, sometimes gets them in trouble. They stand up to the principal and say, "I don't think so." So that's why I focus this book on indigos, because their energy I've seen them come into my office, and oftentimes, you know, it can go in a direction that's not really skillful. So it's really helpful to understand them energetically, help them manage their energy. Of course, it's good for all sensitive children, but it's like vital for indigos.
Right. Okay. Now, what are for indigos? Because you're describing them as these very fierce, powerful warrior spirits, and that is a very dynamic, different energy than maybe the hypersensitives are, who are a little bit more shy or even displaying a little bit of an introverted personality. So the indigos have these strengths of kind of would you say leadership? more of an opinionated personality, perhaps very aware, almost adult-like awareness in regard to certain political or religious or spiritual topics. Are these somewhat similar strengths or traits that indigos display?
They are, but the only caveat I would say is that everything you said was true, yes, absolutely. But they can be introverted, and they can be,
okay.
The thing with indigos is they can be very introverted, they can be very shy, but if you put them the wrong way, they will stand up for what they believe in, and they will not budge. So they just have that intensity to them. That's probably the word most mainstream parents come to me saying. It's like, my kid just has this intensity to them. And other kids do, but indigos have it in such a way that it can be challenging, so to work with them on that. And like you said, they're leaders. So it's hard to be parenting or teaching a leader because they are leading from this wisdom
right. Within.
They know what they want to do, and they have a great BS detector. They know if you're lying. There's not,
right.
You know, there's
right.
one ocean. There's not five. What are you talking about in history class? You know, they really
right.
have this sort of different perspective.
And what I found is that it's not from almost a very young age, you find yourself treating them like a very respected adult instead of a child, because there's such an innate wisdom or sense of awareness that you don't want to kind of insult them on child talk or child,
right.
explanations, because you know that, like you said, they have this bullshit meter and they know if something is off,
and
it's, you have to be real. You have to be really grounded in yourself as a parent to, not be, kind of, swayed by their strengths. You have to be strong in your own strength. So
right.
let's get into that aspect a little bit in regard to as a parent, because kids are such an interesting, they're interesting souls. They're so much more interesting than as we see today than maybe, as we were kids. There was less of that mind-expanding, stepping out of the box kind of soul when we were kids, versus today there's many more thinkers outside of the box, doers outside of the box. So as a parent, who may be a little conservative or maybe conventional, what can we keep in mind for our own sanity and also to raise them as whole people, and we don't, kind of rub each other the wrong way? What can we keep in our mind in raising them?
Well, I mean, I think two things. We're really their partner and their guide. So, it's a partnership. It's, the top-down authoritarian approach to raising them is not going to work. You'll see more meltdowns and tantrums. And so, like you said, speaking with them like they are intelligent and capable human beings. Obviously, they're new to the world, and they're cognitively developing, and they don't have it all yet, but they have an intelligence with them that is incredible. And the other thing is, I think that to think in the forefront of your mind is really that, raising these children is a dimension of your spiritual practice. So, how do you raise a child and be unconditionally loving when they're screaming their head off? So certainly, the indigos are intense. They are very intense. So to really see it as, at moments they're the teachers, at moments you're the teacher. So you're really in it together.
Right. Now, have you found some of these souls, these indigo children, being misdiagnosed as hyperactivity, ADHD, ADD, or even having some of that as a trait or an aspect that they may have to deal with?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, because their energy is so fast moving, and they learn in a different way. They're not linear learners. So their mind works differently. So this can be presented as ADD or ADHD. And I like the acronym that Doreen Virtue used for ADHD, which is attention dialed to a higher dimension. And
I love that.
Yeah, that they're really connected to all that there is. So, part of our role as parents and teachers and healers and guides to these children is to help them figure out this earth plane, because they got the other stuff. It's more
right.
like how can you be successful on planet Earth? So, you know, how do you work in a time-based realm when all they want to do is be in the timeless? You know, well, you got to go to school in 10 minutes, you know? So,
right.
So they really need help in what I would call, if anyone knows energies, energy healing or about energies, their lower chakras need to be open and grounded, because they tend to be very in the imaginative and creative, which is beautiful, and they need to be, but they need to also be able to learn how to ground their energy here on Earth.
Right. And is it common for them to not like structure, routines, school days, things like that? Is it a common thing for them to be kind of the entrepreneurs or the outside of the box kind of thinkers when it comes to education or career?
Yeah, well, like most children, they need some structure. They like to know where
right.
they're going. But
right.
when you get there, they don't want paper with lines. They want to be able to create and draw their own book. It's almost like a Waldorf education, or things that are more free-flowing and child-directed are
right.
very beneficial to them because they want to learn. They want to grow. They want to develop. They have that. Almost most of the indigos that I've met have this deep feeling in them, like I'm here for a reason. I may not know it right now, but I want
mm-hmm.
to get on it. They have that
right.
from birth, from being little kids. They're like, I'm not quite sure what it is, but let's do it.
Right,
it's just
right,
intensity.
Right.
So they're typically interested in what they're interested in. Their skill set may not line up with traditional curriculum, and they're patterned for their unique purpose. So, you know, I mean, they have skills. They have unique talents that may not be in traditional things, which is why I always emphasize teaching them life skills and then helping mm-hmm. them develop, you know, whatever skills they have.
Now, when you talk a lot about how indigos heal themselves, and from reading how you describe an indigo child in regard to an inner healing, it seems like from a very young age they have an innate awareness to self-nurture. Is that true?
I'm not sure if they have an innate awareness to self-nurture, but they have a sensitivity to their energy. And they
okay.
certainly are, they know what feels good and they know what feels not. So they do have that tendency, that inner wisdom to do what feels good to them and to take care of themselves, which might seem selfish, but it's certainly not because, like, you know, when you're on the plane, they say, all right, put on your oxygen mask first. So they want to take care of themselves, and they have that sense, that's right. But they are very, since they take life on a deeper level, it's
mm-hmm.
really important to do both alternative and traditional medicine because they're very in tune with those other modalities.
Okay. And you say, you know, they have very typical awareness and gifts and creativity. And they're also, would you say they have a heightened sense of intuitiveness as
oh,
well?
Oh, absolutely. Their number one intelligence is intuitive intelligence. They, of course, have other intelligences, you know, but they rely on their inner wisdom. So that's
right.
why it's so important to balance their intuition with reason, because they can be very impulsive. They can be like, I'm going here, and then, you know, they're gone for the afternoon if they are old enough. So certainly they're very connected. They're very intuitive or psychic oftentimes.
So when we talk about their healing, and you get into a lot of the crystal energy and the energy from specific different crystals, are indigos more in resonant with gentle modalities of healing like crystal healing? Or let's talk a little bit about the difference, like you were saying, traditional as well as an MD as well as an alternative physician going both ways. Would you say that they're more energetically resonant to, like, crystal energy and things like that as well?
Yeah, they oftentimes they know how to manipulate energy. So they take life in on such a deep level that, you know, when they have upsets, things like crystals, things like sound, things like acupuncture, you know, things like flower essences, all those things work really well to help anxiety, to help them de-stress, to help them sleep. And, of course, you know, when you have other issues that may feel more challenging, you know, you go to a traditional doctor as well. But certainly that a lot of things can be helped with these, you know, what I guess we would call new age, which isn't, you know, really new, but, you know, alternative things.
Right. Okay. So in regard to, you know, there seems to be with the indigo that you have in guiding them, they seem to grasp what they need to do intuitively more easily or more naturally, whether it's a healing or whether it's mm-hmm. moving into more of a creative area or a success or a dream. How can mm-hmm. we guide our indigos towards success and consistency with that success because of their, you know, their frequency being sensitive?
I guess from my perspective, you know, you have to ask them what they want or what's going on, whether it's, mm-hmm. you know, looking for, you know, we all have something that we're extraordinary at, and we might have a few things we're extraordinary at, but helping them find their skills where they really shine is important. It not only helps build their outer and then inner confidence, but they learn to really feel good about themselves and create that self-esteem, and they begin to realize that different is good because indigos know they are different. They are not a cookie-cutter kid. They're very unique, and they're very, you know, I had an indigo I work with. He was, gosh, maybe about 5, and he had already created storyboards for this film he's going to film. So, I mean,
oh, wow.
They're doing, yeah, no, these kids are doing amazing things, so they're not just sitting on their laurels. It's really
right.
a matter of connecting them with their passion.
Right.
And I think Michael Phelps, the swimmer, is an indigo. You know, he's got a lot of that intensity to him. And thank goodness his parents, he was diagnosed with ADD or ADHD, but his parents were like, let's put him in the pool.
Right, right.
You know,
it's a good
not
channel.
Not every child's a prodigy, but it's certainly when you connect them with their passion, things happen.
Well, and it's basically nurturing that piece that is their innate gift, because everybody
right.
has a gift and a talent, and it's just guiding them to understand that that's their inherent gift there. And you know you really get into a wonderful piece here in regard to learning the life skills and money management and certain aspects of self-responsibility and things like
mm-hmm.
that in rearing them. Would you say
which don't
overall,
come natural to indigos, by the way.
Right, that's what I was going to get into. Would
right.
you say that overall their strengths are more in like maybe writing or arts and not so much in the math areas?
Well, it could be math. It certainly could be math, but they would be like Einstein, though. Do you know what I'm saying? Where he
yeah.
doesn't know when he went to lunch, he's like, did I have lunch? Did I not have lunch? It's just not earthly skills that they are honed with. So their gifts or their genius could be in any field or fields we don't even know that are emerging, but they need to just learn how to do, you know, really be successful on the earth plane, which is whether it's money management or, for example, I had an indigo I work with. He finished his homework on a piece of paper, but he put it in his book bag and he forgot to hand it to the teacher, so he failed the class. So it's really that follow through and that completion and, you know, focusing on the meaning that there is value in handing your homework in, not just doing it. Because they're so smart, they finish things in their mind, and they don't always put value on things on this plane. So it's helping them with that.
Right, right. And so the way that you would structure your indigo child may be different than the way your parents structured you. Because they're so sensitive to light and sound and tone, you would maybe want to be more mindful of how you speak to them in regard to tone. And that's something that I was reading in your book, that you were talking about this woman and how she had this relationship with her child, and by changing her tone, the relationship changed. The child started to hear her and respond, and they started to really have an appreciation for each other. And that's something, it's these simple little tools, you know, that it's just a simple little tip that would
right.
so life-changing for some parents.
Right. And I also work with the mom and the daughter Because oftentimes I find, you know, mom's living in one reality, the daughter's living in another. Mom's
right.
thought, you know, hey, why doesn't she help out here? You know, she's got to pull her weight. The kid's, you know, the kid's 12 and is like, what's up with mom? You know?
Right.
Just completely, there's a huge disconnect, a generational gap, a consciousness gap, whatever you call it. So I help them understand each other and give them language for each other. And then the mom could appreciate, oh, you mean she thinks I'm harsh when I say that? It's like, yeah. You know, I mean, just helping her see her perception. And then everything changed. They were able to create more of an authentic relationship, which you want, you know, fast forward 5 to 6 years. If there's a whole bunch of kids and they're getting into a car and someone's been drinking, you want her to call the mom and feel comfortable enough to say, hey, mom, can you pick me up? You know, you want that authentic relationship.
That's right. That's right. And that's, you know, it builds that trust.
Right.
You know, there's this piece here you really address, and you address it, you know, as just a knowing throughout the book. And it's this respect piece. You know, you can tell that you have an enormous respect for children, and I really value that because I see that as a very rare trait. Many people may appreciate children, but to really value and respect their intelligence is a whole nother level. And I love how you write the book in such a way that it really gives the moods or the sensitivity some compassion and some explanation and some you know, some really insight, because I know parents, you know, they're pulling their hair out and they're saying, what did I do wrong? You know, why is my kid, you know, screaming at me at the top of their lungs when I just, you know, said, pick up your clothes? And it's like, you know, there's this control thing that often comes in with some parents and children who are very strong-willed like this, because the parents are trying to be the dominant force, and yet the child is such a force in itself that there becomes a power struggle. Can we talk a little bit about how to disengage from the power struggle?
Well, I think a big piece that you're sort of referring to is the idea of, you know, we parent the way we've been parented unless we take a pause, really, and consciously parent and say, oh, what did they do really right? What did they do, you know, they could have done differently? And, you know, what do I need to, you know, what is the child in front of me? Who is he or she? And how can I help them succeed? And sometimes we're just so busy. People get caught up in life and rushing, and if there's, you know, there's some stress there. So it's really helping sort of flip the script and see life from your child's perspective, right? You know, they're sort of pushed around in school and going everywhere, and they don't want to go to school. You know, they're doing what they have to do, so they need time to relax. You know, they need the same things that adults need. They need sort of that feeling of freedom and joy and, you know, and since these kids are so sensitive, it's not even what we say, it's how we say it. So there is that, you know, added dimension that, you know, what we give to them, they will give back. In other words, they are the perfect energetic mirrors for us. You know, if you're frustrated and you talk to them frustrated, well, you're going to get that back 10 times.
Right.
So they do a pause and a deep breath or whatever it is to go to them when you're calm. And it may mean you have to say, hey, hon, I need 5 minutes. And you go to the bathroom and say your prayers or deep breaths or meditation. You know, you do what you need to do so you can come to them from a place of as much.
Because there are triggers. And when you have a strong-willed child, there's definitely going to be some element at some point in your relationship of a power play. And it is really important to just kind of like, you know, ground yourself and not engage in that level of emotion. Because it's one of these things where you want your kid to have the independence come 10, 11, 12, 13 to exercise their opinion and, you know, stand up for themselves and start to separate from you, you know, in a regard of independence. So there's a real fragile boundary there, you know, with parents who are, you know, coming from a cloth that this is the way it goes and it's my house and it's these rules and it's this way.
Right.
And then they're raising kids who are like, whoa, you're so harsh, man. You know?
But if you give them the respect, they'll give it back to you. So it's sort of a different piece. Right. But if you treat them the way, you know, hey, this is my house and these are my rules and that's it, they're not going to create that natural respect or appreciation for you.
Right, and that's what I want to get to, is that, you know, creating that, just stepping down a little bit and compromising to create that mutual respect, because there's so much that can really be benefited and heard when that respect is there. And oftentimes, you know, you take your kids and kids take your parents for granted. You know, there's this piece that you
right.
really don't think you're going to relate to. And you've just really hit on such a wonderful topic. I love that you have devoted your life to this, and you're changing the perspective of what our children going through today. Because why do you feel there's more of an increase of indigos than maybe 20 years ago?
I think it's just, you know, evolution in action, that we are, as a planet, just becoming more and more sensitive and moving from our throat chakra to our third eye. So we're just being very
mm-hmm.
intuitive, and these kids are intuitive, and they have, you know, gifts and abilities that, you know, they're born for another time. So technology is a big piece of their life, you know, intuition,
right.
being able to come here and, you know, make systems that work for more people, whether it's education or healthcare, or, you know, it's no longer acceptable, all the inequalities. And I think that they're going to be part of those leaders to help make positive change.
Right. It's wonderful to know that we have hope in leadership in regard to a different perspective. So I look forward to that. And Maureen Healy, thank you so much for being my guest today on Unlimited Realities. And again, thank you so much for your patience and understanding with the Blog Talk Radio technical issues. But I would like to give you the floor a little bit for the audience to let them know how to find you, where to buy your book, and all of that. Again, it's Maureen Dawn Healy, The Energetic Keys to Indigo Kids, Your Guide to Raising and Resonating with the New Children. So I will hand it over to you, Maureen, and you can guide them to your website.
Okay, sure. My website is www.growinghappykids.com. And that was my first book called Growing Happy Kids. So
wonderful.
I think there's some free chapters there in my Twitter, and you can just get a wealth of information.
Oh, wonderful. Well, you have been so informative. I have just loved this, and I look forward to connecting with you in the new year and getting you on like in the spring and talking again, if you don't mind. We'll connect if you'd like.
I love it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Maureen. Have a wonderful Christmas and New Year, and I look forward to talking to you. Thank you so much for writing this book and being on the show today.
Thank you, Lisa.
Bye-bye.